He is worthy of our praise this morning, is he? How about giving the Lord a hand? I'll tell you what. And Georgia just told me a moment ago that it looks like the country of Singapore is going to allow the Church of the Nazarene to be a fully recognized church in that country. And that is an answer to many, many years of prayers. God's not dead yet. He's still allowing his word to reach in and through to places that we can't even imagine. How's it possible? And this morning, that's probably the best kind of segue. God reaching into a situation that seems impossible to perform a miracle and bring life. I draw your attention to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. I'd like to share with you about the miracle at Nain. Nain. This is the only time that the city of Nain is mentioned in all of Scripture. And what a miracle was performed. Stand together with me, please, out of reverence to the Lord's Word. Soon afterward, that means right after the faith of centurion that Jesus said, I've seen no one with faith like this. The centurion had believed that Jesus could raise this very sick servant up. After he left Capernaum, soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain. And his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and he touched the bier that they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man got up, sat up, began to talk. Then Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." The news about Jesus spread throughout Judea, the surrounding country. Jeff Lucarelli, would you ask God's blessing on the reading of his word? Amen. You may be seated. The healing at Nain. It's a great example of Jesus using compassion and care and love. He was there at the right place at the right time. And here as we see the phrase soon after, as I had shared, he had just left Capernaum and he was on his way and came to the village of Nain. Nain was located 12 miles from Capernaum. This place, if I could say it in hillbilly southern vernacular of which I grew up, it was in the sticks. Have you ever felt like that you were 12 miles away from significance? Have you ever felt like that you were about 12 miles from having your deepest need met? Have you ever felt like that you were 12 miles from somebody who really cared and could do anything to help you? It's not a city and a place that would get all the attention like a Jerusalem or Caesarea Philippi, or any of those other significant cities. Nain. A little village in which it seemed like nothing would happen there. No one was known there. This is the only time that it's mentioned there. And it talks about what we really know about it is someone had died there. And there was a funeral that was taking place. And so here's Jesus and his disciples and the crowd that's following him that's going into Nain. And here they meet a funeral procession that's coming out. Hope meets despair. Life meets death. What happened in that little small town might seem insignificant to the world, but it was not insignificant to Jesus. He cares about you. He cares about me. We're in those places and times, and it seems like that no one around cares, and no one knows what's going through, and no one has the answer. Jesus is the answer. Luke, the historian, gospel writer that we see here, is the one, he's the only one who mentioned this. Probably it's because of his coming from it as a historian. Probably part of it is he was one that followed with Peter. But Luke, in his gospel writing, is the one that emphasizes Jesus' ministry to three groups that are often overlooked. First is the poor. This lady was poor. She was a widow lady, so her source of income was gone. Her only son was dying, and he was on the funeral bed. So she would be left with nothing. She had no means of support. She had no one that would be taking care of her. She was all alone, but yet there was a crowd that was with her. That lets me know that she was well loved and respected in that town. Everyone knew this widow lady. You see, in that day and time, they could hire professional mourners. How would you like to have a job to go and grieve at a funeral? What a way to make a living. What a good afternoon gig if you could get it. Paid to cry, paid to wail, paid to mourn. It was a part of their custom of that day. And those who were rich and had money, in which no one would really go to their funeral, no one would really cry at their funeral, would pay people to come and cry at their funeral. When King Herod died, he had given instruction for several notable people to be killed in the area so folks would cry at the time of his funeral. How'd you like for people to grieve on your funeral day because of that reason? But this lady, innocent, insignificant, not one of great value and notice by those in authority, was well loved by her community. She had a great many friends that cared about her. Oh, to have friends that care about you. I think that's one of the allures this day and time of Facebook, because people think that, you know, we can reach out and contact folks. Hold on just a second. Didn't. My luck. Let you know you must be dealing with the truth when Satan even tries to get in the sound system. Let's go on. Jesus cared about the poor. He also cared about sinners. We see that he goes out of his way to have contact with sinners time and time again, to bring them face to face with God and face to face with the love of God and the saving grace through Jesus. Sinners might be overlooked by society and the church would shun them. But we're supposed to open up our doors and open up our arms and lives to sinners, because they need Jesus. And we do too. And sometimes in the world that you and I live in, we're the only Jesus that people are going to see. May they see his love through our lives. But Jesus also cared about a group of folks that were often overlooked, and in that culture were thought of more of as property rather than a person. And ladies, that is women. In that culture, a woman was not valued like we would value them in our society today. They were often overlooked and ignored, forgotten, glossed over. But Jesus goes out of his way to personally have a contact. He honored women. So should we. He took the time to notice them in their need. They were not property. They were people who had lives and who heard it. Who heard it? Who hurt. Jesus is there to meet the hurts. The great evangelist Dwight L. Moody, an evangelist from an earlier day, was contacted by someone to preach a funeral, and it was his first funeral. And he, being a good student of the Word, says, I'll get into Scripture, into the Gospels, and I'll look up and see how Jesus handled funerals. Do you know that Jesus never held a funeral service? Fred, he never preached a funeral message. He had this habit that when he came in contact with people that were dead, they came alive again. How can you preach funerals if you're raising people from the dead? The widow's son here, Jairus' daughter, Lazarus. Three people that he raised from the dead. Not everyone did he raise from the dead, but that was three times that he came in contact. And, you know, he was Lazarus' friend. Oh, man, what it would be like. It's an honor to be able to preach your friend's funeral. It hurts like the dickens, but it's an honor. To be able to preach the funeral for someone's child and stand there with them in that time, that's an honor. To be here with a widow's son, a time when it breaks your heart the most, it's an honor to be able to stand in and help at that time. But Jesus just blew right past all that and said, "Not, I ain't preaching a funeral today. In fact, there's not going to be a funeral today." He was on the way into this little insignificant town, 12 miles out of nowhere. I'm going to cut this off. And Jesus goes in with his disciples bringing life, and he meets a group coming out that's horribly experiencing death. Look in verse 13, and you see Jesus' reaction. He was touched. He was hurt. He said to her, "Don't cry." Tears get to the heart of God, and they got to the heart of Jesus. It literally lets us know in the way that that Greek unfolded that Jesus was deeply brokenhearted. And he did something that the religious leaders would have all thought would be something that you don't do. You do not lay your hand on the casket or the carrying place of a dead person. That was a no-no. To touch the dead would make you defiled and you could not go into the temple. But the Son of God wasn't worried about that. For he came to temple and tabernacle among us, amen? And he's the Lord of life and death. And I think it's interesting, the drawback now, that one of the things that we do when we conduct a funeral and at the burial service, one of the last things that I do is place my hand on the casket before it's lowered into the ground. And that symbolically goes back to this time that Jesus, who is the author and giver of life, was not scared to touch and minister in the time of death. Don't cry. Don't cry. Then he does something else. He says to that young man who's laying dead. Oskaloosa. It was coming up. It was the time of the Easter musical, and it was a big pageant. We'd have 100 people involved in this big drama production, and Susan was in charge of it, and many actors in the choir and so on. And there was a situation where they had the little boy dying, and we had a little six-year-old boy that wanted so much to be in the program. His name was Micah, I believe. And Susan said, "Well, can you play dead?" "Yeah." He just, and then it was cool. He was like a wet noodle, just instantly. He could play dead. Well, Micah got to be in the program. And that was one of the highlights of seeing people when he was dead, and then suddenly he was raised back to life. Here's a little boy that's laying on a funeral byre. He's not playing dead. He is dead. And Jesus speaks to him with all the authority and love from the heart of God of the throne room of heaven. And he says, "Get up." And the boy sat up. And he started to move and started to talk. And the mother was there, and Jesus gave the little boy back to his mom. See, Jesus is always involved in giving children to their parents. And he gives and he lets you know that he'll be there with you, and he'll be there with you to minister in the needs. And I understand that someone's saying, well, there's a situation. I know somebody that died and he wasn't there and that person didn't come back to life. I understand all that. Scripture tells us it's appointed on the man wants to die and then the judgment. Every one of us will have a certain time in which we will face death. And when we face death, it'll be our time and we don't understand it. Dr. William Mayo, who is one of the co-founders of the Mayo Clinic, said this: I have seen patients who were dead by all standards. We knew that they could not live, but I've seen a minister come into the bedside and do something for them that I could not do. To pray and anoint, and then they start to get better. Sometimes it's just not your day to die. And God knows. But sometimes it is your day to die. And God knows that too. And he's there to be with you in those moments of life. He's touched by our grief. A dad was talking to his little boy, and their neighbor had just lost their child. And the child was a friend of the little boy. And this afternoon, the little boy came into the house late in the afternoon, and his father said, son, what were you doing? And he said, I was over at our neighbor's house. You know, Timmy died. And so I went there to comfort his mom. How could you comfort his mom? He said, I just hopped up in her lap, and we cried together. Sometimes that's all you can do is cry together. The little boy had a ministry to his neighbor's mom. Jesus had a ministry to this family. But he also had a ministry to the crowd. Those who loved her and cared about her. His disciples who were following him. They all saw this miracle take place in a place that's 12 miles away from significance. 12 miles out in the sticks. The last place that you think that God would come to reach in and perform a miracle and bring life in an unlife, a death situation. And Jesus did it. Notice the change that took place. Just in a few seconds that it took Jesus to tell the dead man to give up, to get up. A grieving widow received her son back. Suddenly now she had a future and she had a life. There would be someone there to share life with and to support her. There would be someone there to help her to carry on. She would not just be at the mercy of others. But those that had gathered in love, they saw that Jesus is the Lord of the quick and the dead. He's the giver of life. He is there with us in all moments of life, in the beginning of life, in the duration of life, in the end of life. And if there's something else that I could say in this message to you that I think it says to us, we need to start with Jesus and we need to stay with Jesus and we certainly need to finish with Jesus. Don't give up on him. He's not giving up on you. She had a future. How do we apply what we hear in this passage to our lives? How do we apply it when we encounter Jesus at those times in our lives that it seems like that we're in that insignificant place, or we're that insignificant person, or that no one really cares? Or we look in our pocket and we don't have any money to pay anybody to cry with us. You understand that Jesus brings hope and life. Where the devil is the one who brings death. And we understand that there is for all of us, death is a part of life. But not to get ahead of ourselves, we understand that Jesus comes in to bring hope and life in hopeless situations. He does what nobody else can do. The crowd that day saw that Jesus had come to help people. And sometimes the ones that he comes to help is the ones that the world would think, why bother?
And those are the ones that are especially close to him. You and I may be in the crowd or in the funeral procession, and the world around us would say, why would he bother helping someone like that? And from testimony, I can say, all I know is he loves me. All I know is he's the giver of life and hope when it seems like it's hopeless. They met at a gate. The funeral procession was coming out of the gate, and he and his disciples were going into the gate at Nain, and right there at that gate is where this encounter happens. It must have really been a traffic jam. We all have those gate experiences of our lives. Are you going out or are you coming in? Are you going out in sorrow or are you coming in life? Jesus, there on the way to Nain as he was continuing his ministry, ran into this funeral ceremony. There at the entrance of that little town, death and sorrow was going out, but he was coming in to bring life and hope. We need to understand that in those gate experiences where we encounter Jesus, Jesus never gives up on us. He's not given up on you. There could be people this morning, in the sound of my voice, that you're living away from the Lord. You are in total disobedience to the Lord. But understand this, there's somebody that's praying for you. There's someone that cares for you. But above all that, there's a Heavenly Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus, who got your best interest in heart and have done something for you that no one else could do. They're the ones that can bring hope and life and touch us at the point of our sin and restore us to life. Jesus, He never overlooks us. No matter how far away that we might be from significance, or no matter how far away we might feel from God's voice, or how far we might be from what may seem like the accepted normal thing to do, Jesus knows us right where we are. And I think He purposely bumps into us. In those out-of-the-way times, in those little insignificant places, in those moments in which you think that nobody's watching, but Jesus sees us. He sees the hurt that we're going through. He sees the deadness. He sees those that might be around who are trying to care. And in those lonely places and hurt times of our life, He's there and He's brokenhearted with us. He's literally broke up and He's saying, don't cry, I'm here for you. And to others, He's given just a simple two-word command. Get up. Get up. We need to be dead to our sins and get up and follow Jesus. Get up and go to His voice. Get up and go into His loving arms. Get up and let Him return us to our family. Let Him return us to our lives. We need to hear Him and obey His voice. And if we do, we live. Can you imagine the testimony that the little boy had to give? Put it in your own words. What would the little boy say? Was I really dead? I'd been dead that long. I knew I didn't feel good. I knew I kind of went to sleep. Next thing I'm hearing these words, get up. What about, in your own words, the widow lady, mother? Everything that I've treasured, everyone that I love, those closest to me are gone. I'm all alone. You ever felt all alone? Jesus is there. He sees your tears. He hears your crying. And He says, don't cry. ... I'm here. The ministry of His presence in those times of our hurt is love. brings hope. Oh, how he loves you and me. Susan, that song that we sang right before prayer time this morning, it's a song I'd like for us to sing here as we wrap up the service this morning. Jesus came to change lives. He came to touch lives and meet us at our point of need. The life-changing power of God, he's in control. He knows really when you and I are going to breathe our last. He knows what situation that we're facing. He knows exactly what's going on. And he's there to say to you, I care. Your tears touch my heart. What you're going through, I'm going through it with you. My child, you're not alone. Maybe you're in the sound of my voice this morning and you're facing a challenge and it's just literally breaking your heart. You might feel like you're all alone. You may feel like that you're 12 miles away out in the wilderness. And no one knows where you are. Jesus does. And he's touched by your grief. Maybe you're dead. Dead in sin. You've been running from God. You've been playing the game. And if you're really going to be honest, say, you know, I need to hear his voice. Wake up and hear his voice this morning. He's calling to you, saying, get up and come to me. He wants to meet you at your point of need. He wants to give you life where the world has given you death. Or maybe you're in the crowd this morning and you got all these conflicting emotions and you just need to know that Jesus cares. And then the story of this little miracle in the little city of Nain, it wasn't a little miracle. It was a little city of Nain. You see that Jesus is in control.
Amen.
Would you praise him as they praised him this morning? Would you say our God is able?
Amen.
Would you say, oh, how he loves you and me? Would you say that I've just seen Jesus? Maybe we just need to see Jesus this morning. We in the Church of the Nazarene have an altar. It's a convenient place to pray. It's a place of grace, not of disgrace. It's a place where we can meet him and he's there to meet us. No matter what your need might be this morning, understand this. He loves you. He knows what your hurt is. He's here to help you. Let's stand together, shall we?